As we go into God's word, let's just say a word of prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you because your word made us understand that the entrance to your word gives light. Lord, we thank you because tonight we will hear your word and we will be blessed. Our lives will be transformed. We'll have great additions. And Lord, your name will be glorified at the end of this meeting. Both those that are here and those that are online, thank you because we are blessed by what you give to us tonight. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to say a very special thank you to the pastorate. Thank you so much, Pastor Nwai. Thank you, Seth Man, for this opportunity to share God's word. Hallelujah. All right, tonight I'll be sharing on the love command. The love command. Amen. Our text is taken from the book of 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So we take it from verse 1 to 8. So it says, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God, as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. For you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Verse 3. God's will is, I'm using the NLT, God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Never harm or cheat a fellow believer. 5. Never harm or cheat a fellow believer in this matter by violating his wife. For the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Hallelujah. 9, he says, I'll stop at 9, he says, but we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has taught you to love one another. Hallelujah. The love command. God himself has already taught us to love one another. I love the way verse 6. He said, never harm or cheat a fellow believer in this matter by violating his wife. For the Lord avenges all such sins, as we solemnly warned you before. So for one to go to the extent of doing anything to hurt or offend, or cheat, or wrong a brother or a sister in the faith, then you have broken the love code. He's not asking us to love. It's a command that ought to be obeyed. It's a command that ought to be honored. There are people who will say, I don't joke with the Ten Commandments. So I don't joke with the 12 Commandments. I keep them. I keep every of the Ten Commandments. But these ones, things like love, because it is not written there, they don't take it seriously. So, but he has given us one command that covers all of the commandments, and that is love, the commandment of love. Hallelujah. We have been commanded to love. Love beyond measure. Because the one whom we represent, the one who died for us, the one who bought us with a price, that is his life. His life is a life of love. So we have been called to replicate this life. We have been given a command to obey and, you know, do this very bidding, which is to love. Hallelujah. Let's see the book of John chapter 14. John 14. You know, I've also found out that when we love God, we obey Him absolutely. Absolutely. From the life of children, you can tell when you call a child and the child loves you, even before you call, say, "Eh, are you calling me? Hey, did you call me?" They are excited about the one who loves them or who they love. They come even without you, because they say, did you call me? You could see love being expressed for just call. But if it's someone they don't like, this uncle has come again. They go into hiding. They don't even want you to. You could even call and they are acting like they are not hearing. When you love God, you would obey Him absolutely. Hallelujah. So John 14, from verse 1. This is going to be a long read, but that's just the body of, almost the entire body of what we're talking about tonight. I will be brief. All right, John 14, from verse 1 to 31. He says, Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everybody is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. I love the way the King James puts it. He says, so that where I am, there you may be also. In verse 4, he says, and you know the way to where I am going. Immediately, Thomas answered. He said, No. We don't. No, we don't know it. We don't know. He said, Lord, no, we don't know. Said Thomas, we have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? You know, it's shocking. It's surprising that they had spent so much time with Jesus yet. So it's like standing in front of your own house and ringing the doorbell, and it's ringing, you could even hear it outside, and your members, your family members inside, nobody has come to open the door. You know they are in the house. They are here, you can hear them, they are jumping and everything, and the bell is so loud that you are the gate, you are hearing it. And then you are wondering, what's wrong with all of you? How come nobody is opening the door? That's how Jesus felt here. That's the expression. He has been with them, spent time with them, been in front of them all the time, leading them, eating with them, sleeping with them, doing everything with them. Yet, they don't know him. Yet, they don't have an inkling. They don't have a clue. I was told, I was there. And they asked a couple. It's a couple's program. So they asked a couple. They asked a man. They've been married for 36 years. And they asked the man, name 10 things. 10 things we as a church do not already know about your wife. This is a man that has been married for 36 years. Elderly man, grandfather. Name 10 things, or tell us 10 things about your wife that we as a church do not already know. The man went, And in the next 5 minutes, he has still not been able to mention three. The wife was shocked. The wife was looking at him like this. That's how Jesus felt. Have I been so long with you guys, and yet I still have to explain over and over, over and over, over and over. See what he said. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. I remember very well when we were in primary school, St. Bridget's, when we were in primary school, it's more or less like a convent school. So what happened is, there's this prayer line they used to teach us, pattern they used to teach us. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and the hour of our death. Amen. You know? And then they pray. Here, Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. I do not need to go meet any priest to confess my sins. He is the way and the only way. The way to the Father is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. So it would be wrong for me to go to any pastor, any prophet, any priest, and say, I have come to confess my sins. And Father sprinkles water on you, and you go, and you say, you are now, your name has been changed from Chukwu Emeka to John. No. It is Jesus that is the way to the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. If you had really known me, you would have known who my Father is. That's what he told them. So you can imagine how that married woman felt. Oga, we have been married for 36 good years. And you can't name 10 things about me. Not my shoe size, not my waist size, not what I like to put on my hair, not the kind of clothes, whether it's buba and, Iran and buba, or whether I like to wear jean, or what the kind of thing I like to cook, or the kind of food I like, and blah, blah, blah. You can't, there's something is wrong. 36 good years. At least when you think of your wife's favorite meal, you should remember that somebody like Mrs. Sajire likes pepper very well, like Yoruba people. That one is one, you have mentioned one. And the time you go to, she likes black. Black is her favorite color. Her size, her shoe size is size 37. So that means for 36 years, the man has not even bought his wife a pair of shoes or something to wear on her leg. If you don't know any, 10 things to mention, he couldn't mention three. That's what Jesus was talking about in front of his disciples. Have you been with me so long that you do not know? That means constantly he talks about his Father. Praise God. That means constantly he talks about his Father. So, before he spoke like this, apparently, very often, he talks about his Father. I am my Father and one. These are my Father. My Father sent me. My Father is just like me. Whatever my Father has asked me to do, that's what I will do. I do the will of my Father. My meat is to do the will of my Father. But that means he talks about his Father consistently every time in front of them. That's why he was amazed. And he asked them, say, have I been so long with you that you still do not know who my Father is? Praise God. Hallelujah. So more like, it will be absolutely wrong and funny that I will bring somebody like Temiloluwa outside now. He's standing here. And they ask you, okay, Temiloluwa is standing in the middle here. I am standing here. And Pastor Moyo is standing there. And they ask you and they say, point who his Father is. And you come and point me. We should carry Koboko. I'll flog you very, very well. That means you are not seeing. You need glasses. Because merely seeing him, you see the replica. You just know. You don't need any soothsayer to tell you. Praise God. That's what Jesus was talking about here. So that means everything he's been doing, everything he's been saying, everything he's been talking about, everything, even his lifestyle, his conduct, everything, portrays that this is the kingdom path. This is the kingdom way. His life is a life of love. They did something wrong to him. He just forgives. He just replicates the life of love. And he's been talking about his father, that his father, God is love. My father is love. My father is love. So he expects that they have seen it, that, you look like this man you are talking about all the time, even though they've not seen the father. That's why I told them that seeing me means you've seen my father. Hallelujah. If you had really known me, you would know who my father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. He had to break it down to them. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. Can you imagine? So, I'll use him again because of. So, Temeloa comes to my house and he says, Mr. Sajiri, my daddy said I should give you this check. I will now tell him that I don't believe that it's your daddy that sent you. Take it back until I see your daddy come by himself. That means there's something. Something has. Upon all these things, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen my. Then he now said, now you know him because, you know, he has actually to, like, look at what he said in verse 7. He said, if you had really known me, you would know who my father is. Then in the B part of verse 7, look at what he said. He said, from now on, you do know him. From now, you know him now because. See me, sure you've seen the picture that, yes, this is my father. Philip now said, in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus is patient. Show us. I just explained to you, and now you're saying, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. If Jesus was a Nigerian, he would kill Philip that moment so that you go and see my father and know, so that you go and know him by yourself. Okay, Jesus replied in verse 9, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Praise God. 11, he says, just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is. He had to make it simple for them. Just believe. So the work of the Christian faith is a work of belief. We simply confess, Lord, thank you because I've turned my life to you, and because I'm renewed, and you have saved me from a life of sin, I confess you as my Savior, and now I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And you believe that you are saved. How did you know you are saved? You didn't change the color of your dress. You didn't change the shirt you're wearing. Nothing about you changed, but you believe by faith that something happened to you. Hallelujah. Something happened to you. So it's a life. We are called into a life of the faith walk, a life of belief. So believe that I am in my Father, my Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. Because they are not ordinary. They are not ordinary. You see me open the eyes of the blind. You see me raise the cripple. You see me do all manner of things. At least because of the work you've seen that has the evidence that this could only be God Almighty at work here. Believe. I tell you the truth in verse 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. Hallelujah. Anyone who believes in me, the works that I do, they will do even mightier works, greater works. Amen. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that a son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. the life of obedience, the life of belief, and the life of love gives us access into getting whatever we want. This simply tells you why some people do not have what they want. It's not enough to desire. It's not enough to desire what you want. It's tied to obedience to the word of God. He spent time teaching, preaching, making them know things. Yet, they still do not understand. No wonder they could not even cast out demons. No wonder they could not even do some things expected of them. He says, anyone who believes in me, the works that I do. So, you see that correlation. Belief simply is what gives them the opportunity, the capacity, the capability to do what he can do and even greater things. So if you don't believe, how do you? You not go to a blind man, just tell a blind man, Waka, Waka. And he's telling you, say, in my name. So you can't take that. You don't want to believe. You don't even want to believe that he and the Father, they are one. You don't even want to believe that all these things he's saying, they are true. So you cannot even get the results that he is getting in front of you. Amen. Let's go further in verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. Amen. Remember, we're talking about the love command. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father. So, love, obey, receive. Love, obey, receive. If you love me, obey my commandments, obey my words, do the things I ask you to do. And I will ask my Father, and you will get whatever. He said, ask anything. Anything. What is anything? Anything is anything. So someone needs a spouse, another person needs money, another person needs a car, someone else needs a house. Anything. In my name, anything. You will get it. Love, obedience, ability to receive. That means if I love him and I keep his commands, I keep his words and I do his biddings, I will get things working for me in my life. Even if I don't ask. Yes, if I ask, I will receive. Even if I don't ask, merely living the life of loving God and obeying his word, there are doors that will naturally open for me even without me asking. Because I'm doing the life. I'm living the life. His kind of life. What he wants. Praise God. I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. So I wonder when people say, I don't have the Holy Spirit. I don't have the Holy Ghost. They've been born again. Very, very dedicated. Come to service all the time. But they don't have the Holy Spirit in their lives. Who will never leave you? Or some will tell you that, I received him once. At that time I spoke in tongues. So, but he left. He left where? He traveled. To where? Ibadan. He said he will never leave you nor forsake you. He said he will be with you. Who will never leave you? That's what he said. So he's meant to be with us all life long. You can imagine the Holy Spirit with you, being with you. There's so much. First, you enjoy his presence, and then there's so much you can do. Because the Bible also says that, okay, let's see it. It says, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Hallelujah. He says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you soon. The world will no longer see me, but you will see me since I live. There's this part, I'll come to that. I think that it's one of the scriptures we'll also read. He talks about, said, he will lead you, he will guide you into all truth. And then he will bring to your remembrance all things. What things? The things I have told you before. And that taught me something. What's that? The Holy Spirit will never, never, and I repeat, the Holy Spirit will never do anything, say on anything, or show you anything contrary to what the Word says. I've seen and heard where some people say, the Spirit, and then the message they will give does not tally with the Scriptures. It's a lie. That's false. Because if the Holy Spirit is going to give you anything or show you anything, it's going to tally with God's Word. Jesus said, he said, he will show you, will bring to, it's the things that I've, and he is the Word. So it's the things that I've said before that's in the Scripture. That, so the Holy Spirit will never go contrary to the Scripture. He will never go contrary to the Scripture. And that's why I pity people who run from, you know, you have people who, because they have little troubles, they run to prayer house, they run to some places. If the Holy Spirit is speaking through that person, they will never tell you something contrary to the Scripture. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on. He said, where are we? Verse 20. He said, when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Those who accept my commands and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Hallelujah. All, okay, 23. Jesus replied, all will love. Okay, this was where Judas asked a question. I think it was Judas, not Iscariot. And he said, one of the disciples, and he said, he was asking Jesus where, to reveal where he's going. Okay, why is he revealing himself only to them, the disciples, and not to everyone at large? And then Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. There's so much love can attract for you. Loving God, loving God, loving God. There's so much it can attract. There's so much it can bring for you. There's so much it can bring to your life. He said, and I and my Father will come and make our home with each and every one of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember my words. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything. And we remind, yes, this is where I was looking for. And we remind you of everything I have told you. You know, the Bible says in the beginning, in John, in the book of John chapter 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was talking about Jesus Christ. He is the Word. So everything he has taught us, everything he has revealed to us, that is him, God's Word, the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance. And that's where I was hitting on when I said, the Holy Spirit will never teach or tell us anything contrary to Jesus, anything contrary to God's Word. He will never remind you of everything I have told you. 27, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you would be happy that I am going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you, because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me. But I will do what the Father requires of me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. Hallelujah. He said, the things, my obedience even to the sufferings and going to the cross for you, is as a result of my obedience to the Father. Obedience is not always sweet. Yeah, it's not always easy. There are things that, okay, do this. The natural tendency is for you to wonder, why? Why should I do this? Why should I do that? You know, especially in this generation, everybody wants to ask why. Do this. When we're growing up, if they ask us to do anything, we just do. But this generation, when you ask them, why? Why? Why is it this? Why is it not like this? It says, so that the world will know that I love the Father. So when you love God, your love for God constrains you and makes you to go all the way, obey, love, and just do the biddings of the Lord. Do the biddings of those that are ahead of you. Do the biddings of the leadership wherever you find yourself. It's obedience to the Lord. Amen. Now let's look at John chapter 15. Quickly, it says from verse 1, it says, I'm the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. So by just eating God's word, by just sharing God's message, and that's the reason why we come to church. That's the reason why we gather. By just listening to God's word, you see that your life just begins to metamorphose into that very image that you love to see. Ah, you just all of a sudden begin to develop capacity. And before you know it, the things that you would naturally do in the natural senses, you won't be able to do them again. You won't be able to do them. Ah, I remember when I started driving in Lagos. Ah, cursing was okay. Cursing was okay. But it was in church that I heard that it's possible not to do that. I'm like, what kind of human being is it? Have you seen, it's just like there are mad drivers everywhere. In the last how many weeks? I've been hit several times by different. In fact, the last one that happened, I parked JJ on my street. All of a sudden, after like 3 hours, I was sleeping. They just called me and said, Daddy Twins, come. One car just on its own. They said the guy was angry that one girl, whether the girl broke his heart or whatever, had that consign my car when he parked on his own. And the guy just reversed with anger and just gave the back of my car bash, shift the life of the car. And zoom off. They were trying to pursue me. They couldn't. And like, this is a car that last month, one pregnant woman just hit and removed my mirror. And she went to hit one pole and she was shivering. As soon as I got there, I looked at her and said, Madam, are you okay? She said, I looked at her. Very heavily pregnant. What did I want to do this one? What did I want to talk? I told her, I said, Madam, calm down. Just calm down. Sit. Ghost bass. Like three different people bashing me. I say, I have changed. Even me, I hate myself because if it's before, the ones who never bash me just drive anyhow for road. Take. The ones just take, collect. I remember one day, one would have happened here. I practically came that guy, I carried King Kobuka. I said, I will beat this one die today. So, but you just find out that you won't be able to do the things you used to do before in your natural senses. Because you were controlled by the natural senses. So your emotions will rise up and you do all manner of things. You will see all manner of things. You will be constrained. You won't be able to say those things again. You won't be able to curse. Sometimes I just shake my head. Just like I went home one day. I traveled home one day to Delta. And as soon as I got home, my younger brother's son, he had finished secondary school. And then something happened. He was just blabbing. He was saying rubbish. Like, I was listening. And my mom was saying, leave him. I said, Is this my mother or another person's mother? Even when I was in secondary school, my younger brother was very, very strong. My mom would throw you up, catch, trap you, as in like football. Now me born you. There's no government, nobody. We discipline you. Even at old age, my elder sister is still afraid. When he come, my mom say, if I give you. But now she can't even, she see her grandchildren, they're climbing her head and doing, grandma, look at it, pushing her head up and say, I didn't even have this opportunity to play like this with this woman. Amen. Amen.
So you wouldn't be able to do those things you would have done in your natural senses. In your natural senses. You won't feel like doing it. Somebody did something, you just next thing, you don't give the person back hand. Or you don't bust bottle. You say, no, you don't tear shirt. You won't be able to do it. You'll be constrained. And what's constraining you? Love constrains us. You won't be able to do that. Because you are obeying a different law now. The love command. It constrains you. The strength of love is stronger than the natural sense. Amen. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So that's the basic secret why Pastor Mwiba was telling us when he was teaching last week. And he was telling us how he gets the in-depth knowledge to do the things to solve big problems when they come. He said because before those big ones will come, he had tackled some small ones by just compared. Talking about love, compassion. Love just makes him, okay, come, let me help you do this. And then he just takes care of that little thing. The one that is coming, because he has done this one, it has given him deep insight into, that's just practically what is here. Without Christ, we can't do this love life. We just can't. We just can't. Without Christ, you can't. Because most times, if you ask people who are married, they will tell you that the man comes from one different family. In their family, they press paste from the top. The woman comes from another family where they press paste from the bottom. Only paste, only toothpaste are scattered marriage. He said, why? He said, why are you pressing it from the top now? Don't you have sense to know that? He said, so I don't have sense. He said, that's not what I mean. He said, no, that's what you mean now. Me, my father, all my family, we don't have sense. That's what you mean now. Because you're talking about the whole family pressing it. So that's how they train me. That means we not get, you don't, while I don't bust. And then you see, father, what cost it? Toothpaste. My wife and I were washing something some 2 days back. And what happened? Daddy Gio and Mommy Gio. I'm not talking of, these are young couples. The woman looks even more elderly than the man. So they do live, what is it called? Live broadcast. They pray for people, they teach girls. Young Daddy Gio sat in front of the camera. He has set up, about to go live. He has even gone live. Mommy Gio came and said, have we started? Daddy Gio said, yes. He said, but we are waiting for you. And Mom Jesus said, for what now? Why did you start before me? You didn't even wait for me to come. This small thing that the man said, but it doesn't mean now you have come or you have just joined. Our seat is there. She said, no, I don't like this. These are the kind of things I don't like that. In front, and it was live. People are now watching. They are followers. People are now commenting. Mommy Jew and Daddy Jew, they have started fighting. The woman has given the mark, boah, and they have started it. And the thing was live. Ministry, public. People were watching. So, what he's teaching us is that it's not like it's not your right, because that's the feeling, that's the natural feeling. You say, Natalie, now Daddy just talked to you like this, just as a, say, Daddy, come, look, let me just warn you in your life. So your natural sense will want to give back those bars. But like the Bible says, love constrains us. Constrains us. Do you know, Jesus was going to the cross and he carried that heavy, heavy wood. Someone came and wanted to help. I listened to one, it's a worry Bible, pigeon Bible. I say, Jesus tell the man, say, you know, there are different kinds of wood. There's mahogany, there's akimi, there are different kinds of wood. So Jesus told the man in pidgin, let me put it in pidgin, say, leave my akimi wood, carry your mahogany. That one is heavier. He said, you want one you go carry? It's heavy, leave this my own, not my size. Leave it for me. Carry, wait for your own. And what did I pick from there? He's saying that this life I have lived, that's why he's talking about fruits here. The life I have lived that you have seen, that example, follow it, copy it. Let people see the fruit that you know this Jesus that you're talking about. For lack of time, I'm going to round up here until any other opportunity comes and then we'll continue. But the love command constrains us that our life must practically be an example that shows and portrays Christ. So, even at the point Jesus said, if someone asks for you to go, it might go an extra with him. If someone gives you on the left, turn the right. You think that's easy? It's difficult. Is he saying, is he asking us to do what he cannot do? No. Remember, they spat on him. They flogged him, peeled his skin, wore thorns on him and all that. They did all manner of things. One of the most difficult things for people to for you to do is someone walk to you in front of you and spits on you. You immediately want to give back. He endured. The Bible says, for the price set before him, he endured the cross. We too can live that life practically. Honestly, it's possible. We can live that life. Love constrains us. It constrains us. It's, you know what constraint is? Holds you back. So instead of fighting back, your response is just totally different. And the person is shocked. Say, ah. And then somebody by the corner is telling you, is that it? You're not going to fight back. Is that it? You say, yeah, that's it. Just let go. Just let go. Remember some time ago when one man blocked this entrance. And we're looking for the person. This is the person. We're looking for the I don't remove the cover of the... I wanted to deflate the tire. Because the person, I went to call the person from the neighboring church. And he was not even being polite. It was very, very... I was very, very angry. I wanted to lace that tire. Or somebody just spoke from behind me and said, divine. God save you today. Hallelujah. So love constrains you, keeps you, holds you back. And then instead of paying back coin for coin, what comes out of you is not you. It's just Jesus bringing out that true reaction that you ought to give. God bless you. I am sorry. And you know, your response is just totally different. And it's to the shame and the disappointment of the devil, because all he wants at the corner, all he wants is, oh yeah, disgrace yourself. He's just pushing you. Your adrenaline will be pumping. And after you have finished, you say, hey, oh my God. The same place where you have evangelized. You have put your shirt and everything, and they are holding you. They are begging you. After you have finished, you have done all your ragado. You now say, ladies and gentlemen, like one man that was fighting in the bus, after he has insulted everybody, have quarreled and everything, you now say, open your Bible to everybody, just look and say, where are we going to start from? Amen. So his love constrains us and brings us to all good works. Hallelujah. There's a strong correlation between loving God and receiving from God. When we love him, when we do this love life, it's easy to receive from him. It's easy to receive from him. Remember, the Bible says that we are custodians of divine mysteries. One of the easiest ways to receive from him through his spirit is by living a life of love. It's by living a life of love. Can we just bow our heads and begin to pray? Talk to him. Father, I allow your love permeate. I will allow your love radiate. I will allow your love run through me. I'll allow your love dwell in me. I'll allow your love take control of my life. I will allow your love lead my life, every aspect of my life. I lead a life of love. I live a life of love. I love genuinely. This agape love, I express it everywhere I go, everywhere I find myself. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll live this life of love. I'll live this life of love. I'll live this life of love. Oh, my kavagadadeshka.
Oh, I will live this life of love. I'll live this life of love and allow you lead me through this path to love, so that I'll be able to draw my sphere of influence, everyone in my contact, to you by expressly showing them the love life, the God kind of life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.